Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take a stack of your sources and pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge. Today, we're diving into the NZ Incident Response Bulletin, the July 2025 Standard Edition.
Yeah, and our goal here really is to unpack the critical insights from the latest cyber news. We've got a special focus this time on, well, the rising impact of artificial intelligence on cybercrime. We want to arm you with what you need to know to navigate this this changing landscape.
It's a really interesting mix, isn't it? You've got local stuff, global news, and then this cutting-edge analysis that just shows how fast things are moving, faster than maybe we realize. Okay, so let's unpack this, starting with the immediate threats. What's the latest data telling us, you know, about the impact, both globally and right here in New Zealand?
Well, the financial hits are pretty significant. Just looking at Q1 2025, New Zealanders reported NZ $7.8 million in losses from cyber incidents.
$7.8 million. Wow.
Yeah. And get this, 10 people each lost over 100 grand. The National Cybersecurity Center, the NCSC, they got, what, 1,369 reports? And 77 of those needed specialist technical help.
Okay.
And most of these losses, they're coming from scams, fraud, business email compromise, those unauthorized money transfers, and businesses are getting hit hard, especially like law firms and real estate agencies.
Right, high-value targets.
Exactly. Yeah. And the NCSC warns that the actual losses are probably much, much higher because, you know, things go underreported. It really hammers home why reporting is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gets really interesting because these aren't just, you know, numbers on a spreadsheet. We're seeing real world impacts. What about some of the global incidents in the bulletin? Anything stand out?
Definitely. Globally, there's the Aflac breach, the U.S. insurance company. They got hit by a pretty sophisticated social engineering attack. Investigators think it's linked to the Scattered Spider group.
Ah, Scattered Spider. Yeah, heard of them.
Right. And it exposed sensitive personal data, health data too. Yeah. Now, they stopped the intrusion fairly quickly, but it really highlighted how vulnerable the whole sector is to these, you know, human-focused attacks. The FBI and CISA actually put out alerts specifically about these methods afterwards.
And then there's just the sheer scale of data breaches. It feels relentless sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Researchers have confirmed this massive leak, maybe the biggest ever found. Around 16 billion unique login credentials.
16 billion. Seriously.
Yeah. And the worrying part is these are fresh, not old, recycled passwords. They pull them from about 30 different kinds of InfoStealer malware data sets.
So malware on people's computers, basically.
Exactly. It covers everything. Apple, Google, Facebook, even government sites. Experts are warning this data is just, well, ready to be weaponized for huge phishing campaigns, account takeovers, identity theft. And like you said, critically, it's coming from malware on user devices, endpoint infections, not usually from hacking central systems.
So what does all this boil down to? I mean, the takeaway for you listening seems to be that the threat is everywhere and it's personal, but it gets even more serious, doesn't it?
It really does. And it raises that question, just how high are the stakes? Tragically, there was that ransomware attack by the Quillen gang against Synovus, the UK diagnostic provider. It caused massive disruption in London hospitals, delays in test results.
Oh, I read about that. That was bad.
It was devastating. British health officials actually confirmed that those delays contributed to the death of a patient at King's College Hospital.
Gosh.
Yeah. It's one of the first confirmed cases in the UK where a patient death is, well, at least partly blamed on a cyber attack. It just starkly reveals how vital that resilience and quick response is, especially in healthcare.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. The big theme running through this bulletin is generative AI and how it's impacting cybercrime. We hear so much about AI for good, but here, very much a double-edged sword.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because AI can be used for defense, absolutely.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is cyber criminals grabbing it to just amplify everything they do, the scale, the sophistication, things that used to take time, skill, effort. Now it's faster, cheaper, and frankly, much more convincing because of AI.
So they're not necessarily inventing brand new types of crime, but it's like they're putting existing crimes on steroids. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a great way to put it. Precisely. AI is mostly supercharging existing methods. It enhances pretty much every single stage of an attack. Look at phishing reports say over 80% of phishing emails in 2024 used AI.
80%.
80%. And that means higher open rates, higher click rates, and they can push these campaigns out like 40% faster than before. We're also seeing these dark web chatbots, things like WormGPT, FraudGPT. They've had the safety features stripped out, built specifically for criminals to churn out custom phishing emails, fake legal notices at those BEC scams, all in seconds.
Which means all those old tricks for spotting scams, like looking for bad spelling or weird phrasing, they don't work so well anymore, do they?
Not at all. AI can generate perfect grammar. It can copy someone's writing style, even fake a colleague's voice if it has just a short audio clip to learn from.
Wow.
And it goes beyond just words. Gen AI can write code for malware, tweak ransomware to be more effective, scan systems for vulnerabilities incredibly fast. There was this proof of concept, Black Mamba, I think, malware that literally changes itself constantly to avoid being detected, and AI password cracking tools. Highly effective.
This is where we get into deepfakes, which I think everyone's starting to get really nervous about.
Yeah, and rightly so. Voice and video deepfakes are a huge concern. We've seen multiple big cases, a CEO's voice faked to get someone to approve a fraudulent payment.
Right, the wire transfers.
Exactly. And deepfake video is coming up fast. Imagine AI-generated avatars of, say, your CFO showing up in a video call, tricking staff into sending money. Beyond that, AI image generators can now create really realistic fake IDs, doctored invoices, even plausible LinkedIn headshots, all used to get around know-your-customer checks, make scam profiles look legit.
And you're saying this isn't just theoretical or happening somewhere else, it's here in New Zealand too.
Absolutely. AI-enabled fraud isn't hypothetical anymore. New Zealand's actually been flagged as one of the countries most affected by these AI threats. CertNZ, our national cert, has warned phishing emails are getting way harder to spot because the language is polished, they're personalized, and NZ banks, they're reporting attempts at fraud using these synthetic identities and even forged voice calls. It's definitely happening.
Okay, can you maybe give us a concrete example? Something that really makes it click for someone listening, puts them in the scenario?
Sure. Think about this earlier this year, 2024, a finance worker in Hong Kong at a big multinational company got tricked into sending NZ $40 million. They joined a video call, and it looked like their CFO and other colleagues were on the call.
But they weren't.
Nope. The video, the voice is all fake, generated by AI. Even back in 2019, an energy exec in the UK got a phone call. The voice sounded exactly like the CEO of their German parent company telling him to wire funds. Again, AI voice generation. These attacks are just much more common now and much better.
It's chilling.
It is. We've even seen stuff like AI defeating AI. Checkpoint Research found malware that had an automated prompt built in specifically to try and disable security AI and tools like that. FraudGPT, I mentioned. They're up for sale on cybercrime forums. About $200 a month gets you AI trained to help write scams, code malware, create guides on targeting businesses.
So looking down the road, what does this acceleration of AI and cybercrime mean for the future? And more importantly, what does it mean for you listening right now, whether you're running a business or just managing your own affairs?
Well, connecting the dots. We're probably looking at hyper-personalized phishing attacks. Imagine AI scraping your public profiles, maybe leaked emails, to craft a scam message that feels incredibly specific, like, "Hi, Sarah, just following up on those board papers from Monday," even if that meeting never happened.
Using context against you.
Precisely. Expect more real-time deepfakes. Think live Zoom calls, maybe fake job interviews or verification processes. Future malware might use AI to adapt its own behavior on the fly, making traditional signature-based detection, looking for known bad code, less effective. It all points to this cybercrime as a service model getting bigger, making it easier for less skilled criminals to just subscribe to a toolkit that does the dirty work, and for professional services firms. The risk to reputation and client trust is huge.
Okay, that sounds pretty bleak. But the bulletin doesn't just leave us there, right? It gives advice. What's the playbook? How do we spot and stop these advanced AI-powered scams? What can people actually do?
Right. It's not hopeless. The best defense is really a combination of healthy skepticism, solid verification processes, and using the right technology. So first, always verify requests out of band.
I mean, use a different channel.
Exactly. If you get an email asking for money or sensitive info, don't just reply. Pick up the phone using a number you know is correct, or use a different trusted communication method. Don't click links in the suspicious message. This is absolutely critical.
Okay, out-of-band verification. Got it.
Second, watch for deepfake warning signs. Train your staff, train yourself to look for those subtle glitches, lip sync slightly off, weird background artifacts, maybe an unnatural lack of blinking, or just an unusual sense of urgency in the voice or video. Training needs to cover deepfakes now, not just dodgy emails.
Makes sense. What else?
Third, limit executive exposure. Think about how much video, audio, personal detail your leaders are putting out there publicly. That's the raw material criminals can use to train deepfakes. Maybe be a bit more cautious.
Good point.
Fourth, build fraud-resistant processes. This is huge. Enforce multi-person approvals for payments, for changing vendor details. Even if someone makes a perfect deepfake voice call, it shouldn't be enough to bypass a solid internal process.
The process should be the backstop.
Exactly. Fifth, use anomaly detection and modern email filters. AI scams often break established patterns, so use security tools that can flag weird behavior like, why is the finance team getting a high-risk invoice on a Sunday night from a personal Gmail? That sort of thing.
Right. Look for the unusual.
And finally, number six, encourage fast reporting. Make it normal, make it safe for people to report anything suspicious, even if they think they messed up. The sooner something is reported, the better the chance of recovering funds or limiting the damage.
So it really comes down to a mix, doesn't it? It's not just about the tech. It's fundamentally about human awareness, good habits, and strong processes that can stand up to these new kinds of attacks. It's a human problem, amplified by tech, needing both human and tech solutions.
Wow. That was a really insightful deep dive. It's so clear that generative AI is just fundamentally shifting the landscape here. Scams are harder to spot, and the stakes, well, as we heard, they couldn't be higher.
Absolutely. And the core message, I think, is that businesses in New Zealand, and really individuals everywhere, you just can't rely on those old, outdated clues anymore. Leadership needs to step up, rethink how verification works, tighten those internal controls, and really drive home the awareness that, you know, that video call, that email, that voice message, it might not be genuine.
So for you listening, the next time you get that urgent request or a voice that sounds familiar asks for something unusual,
right,
you've now got a smarter playbook, some concrete steps to stay ahead. And it leaves us with a big question, doesn't it? How are we all, organizations, individuals, going to adapt our trusted ways of communicating in a world where, frankly, seeing isn't always believing anymore? What changes will you make to your own habits after hearing this today?
Definitely something to think about. Keep those questions in mind. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of cybersecurity and AI.